You don't have to.
Hour number two, Out of Bounds. William Quaggamish, Kelly Gramlich. Our man William hanging out with us in the Blue Ridge Security Studios. No, it's not. It's Priority One Security, you idiot. Priority One Security Studios. Every now and then, I swear I haven't done that in like 2 months. For years and years and years, when you say something a certain way, it just rolls off the tongue sometime. I'm staying right at the sign. I should be more respectful since they're matching all our donations to Tigers for Tatas. The reason that you might get it confused is because they merged. You know, they merged. And so now they're all under one roof. So the same stuff that you got with Blue Ridge, now you get with Priority One, and it's all like the same family merger. Priority One Security, where security is their first priority. You got some sassy phone calls today. People are frustrated.
Just a little
bit
of sass.
Why are people mad today?
I don't know. I think there's been a few Georgia Tech fans that have called in with just a tad of sass. It's fine.
Look, I don't blame Georgia Tech fans for being really confident in their team. I wouldn't want to go into a game totally hopeless either. But I think it's probably the logical standpoint. When you've been eviscerated off the map like they have the last 2 years by Clemson, and when you know that 3 years ago, the last time you did anything whatsoever run the ball, that the quarterback for Clemson's team gave you 2 touchdowns and you didn't run for a touchdown in a game that Deshaun Watson was going to destroy you in until he got hurt.
None of them have given any football reasons, any football sass. It's been other stuff, so I don't know. I mean, Georgia Tech's a proud program, and they should be.
They should be, and they're good this year. They're a good
team. Yeah, they're good. I think that, do you get this vibe, Quack, that Georgia Tech, as a fan base, thinks, is just kind of not willing to accept Clemson's success at this point?
This might be putting words in my mouth, but I want.
Or not willing to give them the credit. Like, Georgia Tech, as a fan base, I think, still thinks they're kind of on the same level as Clemson.
No, I disagree with that.
At all. I disagree with that. You do.
Now, my Georgia Tech conversations come from my grandpa, and he basically.
Yeah, but I would imagine he's a little more of a rational fan. I think probably. The older you are, generally a little more rational.
Probably.
I don't think Georgia Tech, they don't fear Clemson, which is fine. They play them every year. It's a little different. But I don't know. I don't feel the respect coming from Georgia Tech for the defending national champions than I do from some other ACC opponents.
Well, they should. Because there's no team that's felt Clemson's wrath like Georgia Tech has the last 2 years.
But they've also, I mean, they beat Clemson just 3 years ago, and every single year it seems to be close besides the past 2 years. I think that's part of it. You play every year. You are, and you know, the ghosts and Bobby Dodd, we talked about that all the time last year. I just think that Georgia Tech has had more success against Clemson than a lot of other programs. For example, I mean, you would say Georgia Tech and Wake played a close game last week. I mean, Georgia Tech's a better program than Wake, but
right.
Georgia Tech...
Wake had a good first half, really good first half. In fact, they were impressive to me in the first half.
I think Wake Forest fans fear Clemson.
Yeah.
I don't think Georgia Tech fans fear Clemson.
I don't think Georgia Tech fans know what to do. Well, Georgia Tech, first of all, they won a national championship before last year, more recently than Clemson.
Yeah, they did.
So that's got something to do with it.
But, I mean, just overall, like under... If you compare the tenures of Paul Johnson and Dabo Swinney, they're kind of uncomparable.
Well,
but it doesn't
feel
that way the way that the fans act.
Because they beat Clemson all the time.
Yeah, and that's part of it.
Legitimately, I think Dabo's like 500.
Yeah, and that's one of the
Georgia Tech.
Besides Florida State and besides South Carolina, he probably has his worst record against an opponent that they play every year against Georgia Tech, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's 5-5, counting the interim game. So that's, by the way, that's the only time that Georgia Tech has beaten Clemson under Dabo Swinney at home.
Right, all Clemson of them have been in Bobby Dodd,
Clemson
except for that one.
Owned Georgia Tech at home. 2010, when Clemson was terrible, they beat them by 2 touchdowns. Beat them by 16 in 2012. Beat them by 24 in 2013. Beat them by 19 in 2015. I mean, it's not even been single digits. And then in 2008, Clemson lost 21-17. In Dabo's first game as interim coach, the first time they'd ever faced Paul Johnson's offense. They lost by 4 in a game where Willie Korn, like, was skipping rocks to receivers on screen passes and stuff. And so, Georgia Tech has not played well under Paul Johnson in this venue. They have not. They have not played well. They've beaten other teams other places, but they have not played well at Clemson. That will be another concern of mine. Now, sometimes it's defense, and that's not going to be the concern this time, but sometimes they score 13, like in 2010, against the dominant defense with NFL guys. Sometimes they score 31 and give up 47, and 31 and give up 55, and then sometimes it's 43-24, and they basically score by smoke and mirrors at the end of the game. Or last year, 26-7, where I really think it's worse than just destroying a team, that you could destroy a team and you choose not to. Like Clemson, like, chose to spare Georgia Tech last year. Because I still say there's never been a first half of a game where I felt like a team was more overmatched than Georgia Tech against Clemson last year. And I've never felt that way.
And it feels like, to me, Georgia Tech fans are just pretending last year didn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Well, I don't know. I mean, it's their prerogative. Look, go into the game with thinking about the way you want to. That's fanhood. Do what you want to do.
I know you...
You just can't ignore.
I know you felt like happened. I was nerding out a little bit over history with Tim Beret, talking about like the early 2000s, Kelly Campbell, Kerry Watkins, Calvin Johnson. There was a mystical, like the corner where the band is in the end zone. Georgia Tech won like three straight games in that corner, like with seconds on the clock against Clemson in the early 2000s. They played buzzer beaters all the time. The infamous Woody Dantzler game where George O'Leary went for two, three times and missed them all. And it went to overtime, and Woody Dantzler wins on a walk-off quarterback draw. Like, it used to be a huge deal. Clemson, Georgia Tech, they play close games all the time. There was one time Clemson was up 10 with, like, 3 minutes left, and the punt snap was fumbled, and Georgia Tech scored, got it back, and scored and won.
You could argue that of all the current members of the ACC, Georgia Tech is second only to Florida State in how well they've played Clemson. Over the past,
I don't know, 10 years?
Just in the modern era, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
And I
right.
think that lends to kind of how the Georgia Tech fan base feels about Clemson. So I think there's definitely some, some reason why Georgia Tech doesn't fear Clemson, because they have beaten the Tigers a lot. And, of course, Florida State doesn't, in general as a program. But it's just kind of weird, because this was a Georgia Tech team that 2 years ago went 3-9. But they just find a way to either be in the game with Clemson or beat Clemson.
Clemson beat Georgia Tech, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 straight times between 93 and 96. And then from 97 to now, Georgia Tech's 12-9 against Clemson, including that vacated ACC championship win. That's one of the dumbest rulings I've ever heard from the NCAA. I got a tweet early from a Georgia fan. It basically said this. Let me read it. At Quag Talk, let me see. Another difference in those teams, Quag, is that Georgia Tech had a quarterback this year. Man, I've been hearing that argument. I've been hearing that argument since like 09, since Josh Nesbitt left, to play fullback at the Bills, if you want to know how how brutal it was to tackle that guy. Since Josh Nesbitt left, and they went to Tevin Washington, and they went to these other guys. Justin Thomas is the next one. Like, every time Georgia Tech changes quarterbacks, by now they should have had Lamar Jackson. Because Nesbitt was good, and yet we hear all the time how much better the next quarterback is and how much better the next quarterback is. It was Matthew Jordan last year as a better quarterback. They always say they have the best quarterback ever to run their offense, but they're never quite good enough against Clemson. Like, I just think that's disrespectful. Justin Thomas is pretty good and wasn't nearly good enough against Clemson. Averaged 80-something yards in the last 2 years rushing. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense that now, like, based on how much better these quarterbacks have gotten over time since Nesbitt, you would think they'd have a Heisman winner now.
I have one more kind of worrisome, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Warning for this game.
Okay.
That when I think about the last 2 years, there's one thing Clemson had that they don't have this year. And it's pretty obvious. And a caller brought it up to me in a certain capacity earlier. And it's pretty obvious, but I think it needs to be said. The offense, especially with this, gimpy, somewhat 100%, 85%, 90% Kelly Bryant, the Clemson offense in 2015 and 2016 was able to sustain drives, stay on the field, and allow the defense to have their legs under them and, keep that time of possession reasonable or in Clemson's favor. That is the big question for tomorrow. Yes, can the defense do what it always does against Paul Johnson? That's fine. But can the offense sustain drives and keep the defense off the field? That's my other big question.
I don't think so. I don't think they can. Sustain drives and keep the defense off the field? No, I think there's going to be 100 punts in this game. I think it's going to be three and out.
Basically, you're okay with that because you think that Georgia Tech can't sustain drives either.
Yeah, they're not going to sustain drives either.
That We talk defense. We talk Venables, Johnson. But you have to remember that Deshaun Watson and the boys were on the field in 15 and 16. And Clemson put up 40-plus in 15 and could have put up 40-plus last year.
Yeah.
But just called the dogs
Chose
off.
Not to. I think this game has like a 17-6 feel to it.
Yeah. I don't think either team scores 20.
If you look at the home road splits for Georgia Tech this year, it's remarkable. They've rushed for over 400 yards every home or neutral game except Jacksonville State, which they probably just didn't want to show a lot. I mean, they ran it 49 times in a game.
Let's just ignore that game because it doesn't really help your stats. It's an outlier.
Right. They've rushed for 400 more yards except for that one time when it rained on the road against Miami and they rushed for 226.
I think it's crazy they've only played one true road game.
Yeah,
that's
in the first six. Now, they were supposed to play at UCF. Right. Which, I mean, it's not their fault, but you can't just act like it's not a factor. You can't act like it just doesn't exist. And for the people who can't, we keep getting this on the text line, 96156, the people are bringing up, well, Clemson was humbled by Syracuse. Clemson's destroyed Georgia Tech the last 2 years. And people act like that Syracuse and Georgia Tech are the same. I don't think people truly understand the reason why Clemson has destroyed Georgia Tech the last couple of years. I don't think so. And I also think that if people think Clemson is going to score 40 points on Georgia Tech, that they're losing their minds.
I don't think any Clemson fan thinks that right now.
This Georgia Tech defense is really good. And they made some great adjustments at halftime to Wake Forest and totally shut down Wake Forest offense last week. Let's go to Lee from Greenwood, who's up with us next. What's up, Lee?
Oh, hope you guys are doing great today. Just enjoying my every Friday life reps, getting ready for another exciting week of college football, and looking forward to the game tomorrow night. I think I'm like most people. I've been sitting on the edge and just kind of, you know, debating and wrestling with all the what-if scenarios and this and that and everything. But I think what Kelly just mentioned really kind of spoke to my point that I was wanting to make, was the fact that, you know, Paul Johnson and this offense in the past, no matter how bad or good they have been, they're a very, very pretty consistent team as far as going for it on fourth downs, especially on the plus end of the field position. And I think that's my biggest concern tomorrow, and the fact that, you know, can we commit to going for it and having four down drives when we get into Georgia Tech territory tomorrow? Being how the offense has struggled, because at this point of the season, I still don't feel like we have totally maximized all of the guys on this offense that we have, knowing that we're not the offense we were last year. But I just don't think that we've seen glimpses. We've seen a little bit of ETN, we've seen a little bit of Fisher, but we just haven't seen the consistent outbreak from some of these guys that I think by this time of the year, you know, you'd hope you'd see. So I think for me, the biggest key tomorrow is going to be third and fourth down. It's just going to see who can win those downs and who can come away. As you said, it might be a field goal kind of game anyway. And that scares me a little bit too, but I just think that's going to be one of the big factors, and I'll take your comments off there. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Lee. We appreciate it. Thanks so much. When you look at some of Clemson's stats this year, like I did a little bit of this morning. And when I looked at some of the numbers, particularly from the receivers, I kind of made a face like I smelled something funky. Like it smells bad what's happening on offense. You tell me if any of this is astounding to you. I'll just give you a couple examples here. In seven games, you know who leads Clemson in yards per catch among people who average at least one catch a game? Yards per catch.
I'm going to guess Renfro.
It's DeAndre Overton, who has seven catches for 111 yards, 15.9 yards per catch. Deion Kane, the great downfield threat, Deion Kane, averaging 12.5 yards a catch. Mylon Richard at 12.9. Ray-Ray McLeod, who had a 79-yard catch against Louisville, has 30 catches for 314 yards. Think about that outlier, how that should skew your stats. He's averaging 10.5 yards a catch, with one being 79, like 20% of his output there. More than that, like 30%.
Where's Hunter on the list?
He leads in catches and yards, 34 for 346, 10.2 yards a catch. 10.2. With no touchdowns. Those numbers are not, I mean, they're kind of average. They're kind of bad. Like, you know, you're used to having a first-round draft pick. You used to have a Mike Williams in there.
That brings us to my first, what is more likely in this Clemson-Georgia
Throw
Tech
that
game?
Out there, and then we'll discuss it after the break.
And it,
we'll
it pertains to the passing game for Clemson. What is more likely? Clemson scores a passing touchdown in the red zone. Dun-dun-dun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or Georgia Tech completes six or more passes.
So what's more likely? Georgia Tech completes six or more?
Georgia Tech's averaging about four completions
yeah.
a game.
Or Georgia
and
Tech
Clemson
throws a touchdown?
Has yet to
Clemson
throw
touchdowns in the red zone.
How many touchdowns wow. does Clemson have in the red zone? I think it's just the Hunter Johnson, Cannon Smith touchdown.
In
if that even
zone.
Was the red zone.
Yeah, I think that's the only passing touchdown so far.
Kelly Bryant doesn't have one.
I'll have to go back and look. I don't think I have my notes with me. I charted those plays and tried to figure it out in the red zone.
Point is, both are very rare. Both are very rare occurrences.
Right. We'll talk about that when we
Give
come
me your
back.
Answer on the other side.
We will. Stay with us. More to come Out of Bounds in just a moment.
Just like our national champion Clemson Tigers, John Deere and AgPro know a thing or two about leaving it all on the field. Their compact tractors feature legendary toughness, strength, and unrivaled durability. Right now, you can check out the entire John Deere lineup at AgPro. They even have special financing available, so it won't take a big bite out of your budget. Find the location nearest you or request a quote today at agproco.com.
Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca have that championship connection. Carol Tyler, class of 84, and Herb Tyler, class of 82, are rooted in the Clemson culture and deliver only what you've come to expect. Championship-style food and number one customer service. It's always their pleasure to serve you. Visit Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca and get that championship feeling. Or go online at ilovechickfilet.com and order the tailgate trays that make every game day a championship day.
Right now is the time to start your search for your perfect Ford vehicle at Anderson Ford on Clemson Boulevard. The Anderson Ford Matchmaker Program provides you with an inventory specialist who'll put you and your family in the perfect Anderson Ford vehicle. They'll listen to your needs and make sure your new or certified pre-owned Anderson Ford is a perfect match. Anderson Ford, doing business differently. Anderson Ford, 3900 Clemson Boulevard in Anderson. Online at AndersonFordSC.com.
Gearing up for an autumn escape? Stop by the Pendleton Tire Company and buy a set of four eligible Yokohama tires and get a Visa prepaid card up to $70. Choose from Yokohama's all-new rugged Geolander MTG003, the reliable all-season Geolander HTG056, and many more. So hurry in to Pendleton Tire today, because your chance to escape with incredible savings ends soon. Visit YokohamaTire.com for complete terms and conditions of the mail-in rebate.
Great Southern Homes has been building beautiful, exceptional, and great value homes in South Carolina for over two decades. Residents in the Midlands and the Lowcountry have come to trust Great Southern Homes as a premier home builder. And now you can too. Great Southern Homes is now building in the entire upstate. At Great Southern Homes, dream homes are standard. If you're looking for the right builder to make your dream home come true, look to Great Southern Homes. You'll be glad you did. Visit us online at greatsouthernhomes.com.
I'm Richard Thompson of Thompson & King Law Firm, and I believe that every person has a God-given desire to work. That's why I take Social Security and workers' compensation cases very seriously, because most folks don't really want to think they're disabled. They hesitate to file for disability, and when they're turned down, they hesitate to appeal their case. But they are disabled. If you're presently unable to work on a daily basis, even if you don't fully understand the cause, come see me. I'll take your case seriously. I know you do.
But Thompson King Law Firm, 222-0200.
It's Dabo again. One of the fastest growing crimes these days is package theft. We're all ordering more online, and a stack of boxes on your front porch can be quite the temptation. Priority One Security provides the protection you need with their video doorbell system. You can record any movement or answer the door from your smartphone, no matter where you are. Priority One, trust in us.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com. 888-407-SAFE.
The air is cooling down, and what better time to snuggle down in a new comfortable mattress from Simmons Mattress Outlet. With the lowest prices in the upstate, you can buy a mattress and still have money to spare. And don't forget, the box springs are free with your purchase of a new mattress. If you are really looking to pamper yourself, ask about adjustable bases, but hurry, they move quickly. Simmons Mattress Outlet in Seneca, located in the old Walmart across from Chick-fil-A.
Looking for a new restaurant to try in Anderson? Anderson's newest addition to Main Street is the District Restaurant and Bar. The menu at the District features an array of sandwiches like Reuben's, barbecue pork, and blackened tuna. Appetizers ranging from crab cakes and ahi tuna to chicken wings, nachos, and chicken tenders. If you're hungry for some down-home fare, entrees include chicken and waffles, ribs, grouper, filet mignon, and a 16-ounce ribeye. Your new favorite restaurant is now open, the District Restaurant and Bar, 126 North Main Street, Anderson.
Introducing Bamboo Court, a new community from Tom Winkoff & Associates. 14 townhome-style condos with two bedrooms, 2.5 baths, and walk-in closets. Bamboo Court is luxury living on the CAT bus route near Clemson University. Pre-selling for August 2018, starting at $195,500. Learn about Clemson's newest townhomes at tomwinkoff.com. For your game day condo or for your college student, call Susie at 303-8070 today. Bamboo Court is a Tom Winkoff development.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
I was being sarcastic.
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
All the single ladies, 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 all the single ladies. Now put your hands up, up in the club, just broke up, doing my own little thing.
Hour 2 brought to you by Monahan Company Real Estate. If you're considering a new home this year, one of the first steps is to assess your finances. The professionals at Monahan Company Real Estate can help. Call them at 639-1188, 639-1188. Fair question. Carolina Mountaineer says this on the text line, 961566. Transform your body in 90 days. I dare you with the health dare. He says, so y'all are saying that Clemson's offense is, or I'm sorry, that Miami's offense is better than Clemson's offense, rain included, because Miami put 25 on Georgia Tech, and y'all are saying Clemson won't score 20 on Georgia Tech. Yeah, I'm kind of giving Georgia Tech some credit, and I'm not giving Clemson's offense the benefit of the doubt after it only scored 17 offensive points against Syracuse. I'm not going to do it. In the rain with a gimpy quarterback, that's what Miami didn't have. Miami had a guy that could sit back there and at least make some easy throws.
Also, when did it start raining in the Miami game?
Late in the game.
Yeah.
Late.
And I think we assume it's going to rain the whole game. Again, this could be very wrong. But I could see Clemson scoring 20, 21. I'm not saying 20 is a hard set number here, but I don't see it getting much higher than that. I really don't.
I'm looking at the weather right now, the sort of hour-by-hour forecast for tomorrow. Like somebody said, it's supposed to stop raining by kickoff. I think that's ludicrous. I don't know what weather forecast you're looking at there. You might have had a glitch in your computer there. I've got it raining all the way from like mid-morning all the way through like midnight.
Yay!
With very little delay. I mean, and then the thunderstorms are supposed to be somewhere between like 6 and 9. So hopefully they get out kind of fast or don't show up at all. That'd be great.
Say it again. What did you say when we first started the show?
Just get out before like 6.
No. You wanted a clip of it. You're saying.
Lightning and the thunder.
No.
Oh, it's going to rain. That's it. It's raining sideways.
I said
a lot in the first segment. If you want to hear all the things I said in the first segment, go to WCCPFM.com. WCCPFM.com. Yeah, I mean, it's going to rain. It's going to rain the whole time.
It's going to rain.
Yeah.
So give me your final answer, sir.
My final answer what's more likely? Clemson scores a passing touchdown in the red zone or Georgia Tech throws 6 completed passes?
Yes.
My final answer is Georgia Tech.
Okay.
There are 2 reasons for it. Well, 3 reasons. First of all, Clemson's 2 corners down, so if they just throw a jump ball to Ricky June, he might make the catch. The second thing is, if they can't run it, which until they prove they can run it on Brent Venables with this type of meat on the defensive line, I'm going to assume they're not going to be able to run the dive. They're going to go -4 on the first play and maybe never try it again. I'm just going to assume that they're going to not just be able to run it whenever they want. So if they're going to throw it, if they're going to move it, they're going to have to throw it. So they're going to have to put the ball in the air. I know last year they threw it 14 times. They only completed 4.
And a lot of those came late
That was against a little better cornerbacks too. If there's no...
But also in ample conditions.
Right, that's true.
It was sunny and beautiful in Atlanta last year.
If there's no Mark Fields and there's no Marcus Edmond, which there's not, then that means there's a lot of stress every down on Carter and Mullen and some of those guys.
I think the clear answer is Clemson scores a passing touchdown in the red zone, mainly because we still are under the impression that Kelly Bryant is not going to scramble as much.
Right.
And yes, I know Clemson has proven it loves to pound it in the red zone with the stable of backs, but I do think you might see the Tigers switch it up somehow, some way.
Here's my number one question about that. Then we'll go to Steve's phone call. Who's going to catch it? Who's going to catch the touchdown pass in the red zone?
I think Hunter Renfrow could.
Renfrow would be the one. Deion that would Cain be the could. One. Although Renfrow, we're now approaching game eight.
I think Mylon
Hunter
Richard
Renfrow
could.
And me have the same number of touchdown passes.
Has he even been targeted once in the red zone?
Yeah, he's been targeted like five times in the red zone.
When?
So far, Renfrow. I charted them all.
Yeah, you did chart them.
Deion Cain's been targeted once in the red zone. Once. All year long. Seven games. One time.
You know what's going to happen? And I'm going to laugh because I'm going to be right, but I'm still going to kind of be wrong. There's going to be some sort of jet sweep.
It's come
in the red zone. It's going to count.
They
it's
better
count.
Honestly, they better hand the ball off to Feaster and let him run up the center's butt crack three times and kick a chip shot field goal. That's what you ought to do.
What is wrong with you? Chill.
I'm on edge with this game.
You are right? On edge. You are on edge. It's just a simple what is more likely.
I know that. I'm not even mad at you.
Take a deep breath.
I'm really upset right now at the lack of comprehension that people have. Like, they don't listen and apply the information. Like, I got this guy coming at me on the text line basically saying that, good Lord in heaven, that I'm talking about Clemson scoring a bunch of points and dominating on offense. What is that? What is happening? My gosh. Get that out of here.
Do you see this last text we just
got? I'm tired of your gimpy Kelly Bryant crap. Shut up or get off the radio. You idiots have run him down all day. First of all, we've only been on for an hour and a half, so that couldn't have been us. Second of all, it's
He's
true.
Hurt.
And what do you want us to say? If I come on this show, on these airwaves, and tell people, Kelly Bryant's fine. He's fine. Guess what that doesn't do?
That's
that doesn't
fake news.
Mend his injury. That doesn't heal his ankle. We're not laying hands and praying for half an hour. I'm just telling you what's happening. If Kelly Bryant's 100% tomorrow, I've got three heads. He's not going to be 100%. He's just not. It's an ankle injury. He's been asked to run. If he's 100% to start of the game, he won't be by halftime. Not with those field conditions and not in the minds of your coordinators given a game plan. I'm not going to sit here and tell people Clemson's scoring 40 points tomorrow on offense because everything's going to be hunky-dory back to normal. They were playing in 72 degrees indoors and scored 17 against a lesser defense in Syracuse. I can't tell people they're going to score 40 and everything's going to be all right. What I can tell people is Georgia Tech is not scoring. You get the 20, you're winning. Period. You get the 17, you're probably winning on Georgia Tech. Like 13 is about what I expect, like the max that Georgia Tech's going to score. 13. Steven Anderson's up with us next. What's up, Steve?
Oh, hello.
What's going on?
Thanks. I'm a Georgia Tech fan, big Georgia Tech fan. I don't see much of a chance for us tomorrow against Clemson. I hate to say that. I wish I could say anything else, but I think this is by far the toughest game the Tech's going to have tomorrow for the entire season, mainly because Clemson's going to be angry after that last loss. Clemson knows it belongs in the playoffs, and they're going to show it tomorrow. I don't think that we've yet seen Clemson put up that the single breakout high performance game that they're capable of. It may be tomorrow. It may be later in the year. Tech blew their chance to become relevant when they wasted away a great opportunity down at Miami, and I hate to say that too, but Miami is just not. The type of team that I think they're overrated at this point compared to what their real capability. And Tech has got to concentrate on finishing out the year with a good performance against Virginia Tech. And I'll be totally honest with you. I think Tech has a better chance of beating Georgia than they do Clemson. I think Georgia is overhyped tremendously and has played the easiest schedule in college football. Anybody who's in the SEC East has been given a gift of playing the most low capability teams that exist in college football. Clemson's played a much harder schedule. We know that. I say Tech's got a much better chance of winning against Georgia than they do against Clemson. One key reason, and I think you guys have already discussed it, is the dive Last 2 years, very good point, Quok. The low rushing yardage against Clemson is primarily, I believe, because the dive play being taken away.
Yes.
And when that happens, it stresses the perimeter game, and you cannot do it in the Paul Johnson offense just by running a perimeter pitch-out offense. That dive play has got to work, and it's been taken away by Clemson over the last two seasons. I don't see any difference this year, Quok. I really don't, and Kelly. I think Tech's maximum score will be 20. I think Clemson will be in the 20s, maybe even get to 30. Personally, if Brian is healthy, even if he's not, I think Clemson's shown very, very capable backup quarterback. So I see no flaws in this Clemson team, and I think it's going to be a long day for Georgia Tech tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. That is my number one reason why I don't. Well, there's a couple things. First of all, you take away the dive, you take away the offense. You take away a third of the offense, the other two parts run off the dive. It's like a play action team that wants to run the ball first to set up play action. If you take away the run, you take away play action. All of a sudden, the team has their identities, like, it goes away. The second thing is, if you take away the dive, then the athletes on Clemson's defense get to pursue the ball in space without having to worry about the dive. So the team with really good recovery speed on defense, the team that can make mistakes and especially horizontally and close ground very quickly on defense better than they could a year ago, is sort of unleashed out to the edges. I don't see Clemson scoring a lot of points in this game because Tech's defense is really good. The secondary is really good. They struggled to stop the run in the first half and then fixed it at halftime last week. But I don't see Georgia Tech just lining up and running for 400 yards on Clemson like they have in some of these other games.
Quok, best text of the day.
All right.
On the Health Air text line. He writes, or she, Quok, tell the truth about Kelly Bryant, but lie about the weather. We need butts in seats. Sincerely, Clemson Athletics, Death Valley Noise Meter and Marketing 101 professors. That's true. Because I think it's kind of concerning what I've seen on Facebook and just kind of on social media of people selling their tickets. Have you seen a lot of that?
I was actually telling somebody today, I have not seen it.
I've seen
not
a
like
lot.
I have for other games.
I've seen more than almost any other game.
Wow.
And maybe that's just my friends are, you know,
well,
not
be.
Committed. Maybe
it
that's
be.
It.
Look, I'm not everybody's friend. I know, that's a shocker.
You are,
I'm
though,
not everybody's friend.
On Facebook. You accept anybody.
I do have a lot of friends.
I have
friends.
A thorough screening process.
I do. But it's fair. Like, apparently there's a theory now that the rain's going to go away at 5. If that's the case, the ground's still going to be soggy. It's still not going to be a great playing surface. It ain't going to be a torrential downpour. So I guess it's not quite as heavily swung in favor of Clemson, but it
the still bottom line is
Clemson.
No one really knows.
No one really knows.
No one really knows.
Not until you get in it. We're going to be inside tomorrow, I think. But I haven't made that choice yet, but
for the pregame show and the
pregame show and tailgate show.
Well,
going to be in Little John, we think.
You're going to be in the press box for the game. I'm going to be in the stands. So, prayers up. I'll be with the rest of the little people, Quok.
Yeah.
The normal folk.
So I can lecture everyone about leaving the game, right?
Yeah, well, you said dry.
That's all we do.
You would
be stunned, like, as if I wasn't working a game, like I wouldn't be in the stands sitting there. As soon as somebody from the media, who would probably be at the game anyway, tweets about it, someone will be like, oh, you didn't sit under the oppressive heat.
Yeah,
like
that'll be me.
Like, the press box is so so cozy. Like, it's not horrible, but it's open air. Like, we know what you're sitting in. If it's 90 degrees, it feels like 90 in the press, but like, we feel it.
You saw my sunburn, though, post-BC. That was a hot one.
Yeah.
I got sunburned yesterday.
I did, too.
And you did, too?
I didn't know until, like, midnight.
At our remote for three, we were outside for 3 hours. Isn't that crazy?
That was crazy.
We have to be one of the palest radio shows in the history of time.
If there's a reason to go to the game, even in the rain, how about Danny Ford being recognized in pregame?
Yes, that's awesome.
That is pretty cool. Do you have a second one or whatever we're calling this?
It's called What Is More Likely.
What Is More Likely. Oh,
it's
I'm
not
sorry.
Called If Pick
I'm
Which
sorry.
One.
We need a crowd yelling it. What is more likely? Yeah, like every fake game show on SNL.
We really should get that.
Yeah, we need it.
That sounds fun. All right, my second What Is More Likely. What is more likely to happen, Quok? Taquan. Apparently, it's not Taquan. I apologize.
You call him whatever you want. No one knows.
Taquan Marshall passes for over 100 yards or Kelly Bryant rushes for over 100 yards?
How about that?
How about you think about it? We can get it back to it on the next one.
Say it one more time.
What is more likely? Taquan Marshall, Georgia Tech quarterback.
Yeah.
Passes for 100 or more yards.
Okay.
Or Kelly Bryant rushes on his bum ankle. I hate to break it to the Texters. For 100 plus yards.
Oh, boy. All right. We'll do that when we come. But this is... You're making me stretch my mind.
That's the point of the show.
You're making me stretch my mind right now. Hey, stretch your wallet at Tiger Sports Shop. Stretch it way out there. Pull that cash out or pull that card out and buy you some orange and purple. Get that rain gear. Umbrellas. I'm sure they got some galoshes in there or some rain boots. They've got weather-resistant material in there. They've got all kinds of good stuff for you. And it's going to be kind of chilly, so you might need like some gloves or something. You know, they got some gloves in there. Everything for the Clemson fan, by Clemson fans. How about Tiger Sports Shop? Downtown Clemson, 364 College Avenue, Highway 123, 1102 Tiger Boulevard. Stock up now. Don't go to the game like I did for Notre Dame a couple years ago and go, gosh, I wish I had, and list off all the things you wish you'd bought. Don't do that. Go to Tiger Sports Shop today. You will not regret that choice. We got to get to our You Pick'em games. We haven't done that yet. So we'll do that with you when we come back from Out of Bounds in just a moment.
Here we go!
Clemson football is back this Saturday as the Tigers take on the Yellow Jackets of Georgia Tech. It'll be an emotional day as football reunion day sees former players return to Death Valley. The Tigers are ready to redeem themselves after a tough loss to Syracuse, and the bye week has given them time to regroup and get ready to roll. Game day starts with the Tiger Tailgate Show this Saturday on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Game day starts with the Tiger Pregame Show on the flagship station for Clemson football, 105.5 The Roar.
Up next, it's Don Munson with your daily Tiger update, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Relax, we're in Tiger Town. Founders Federal Credit Union is in Clemson for all your financial needs. With products and services like free checking with e-statements, loans for all reasons, the Founders app with mobile deposit and Founders Online, you can be all in at Founders and all in with your national champion, Clemson Tigers. For product information, visit foundersfcu.com. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. Former Clemson head football coach Danny Ford will be honored Saturday evening during pregame for his induction into the National Football Foundation Hall of Fame class of 2017. The original announcement was made on January the 9th of this year, the day that Clemson won its second national championship. The first, of course, came under Ford in 1981. Ford is the fourth former Clemson head coach to be named to the National Football Foundation College Football Hall of Fame. The others are John Heisman, Jess Neely, and Frank Howard. Former Clemson players in the Hall of Fame include Banks McFadden, Terry Kinnard, and Jeff Davis. Ford coached Clemson from 1978 through 1989 and posted a record of 96-29-4, the second most coaching wins in Clemson history, behind Frank Howard's 165. The native of Alabama was just 33 years, 7 months, and 30 days old at the time of his win over Nebraska, and is still the youngest coach to win the national championship. Now, Ford was 23-8-1 head-to-head as Clemson's head coach against coaches who are already in the Hall of Fame. Congratulations to Coach Ford. And our report brought to you by our friends at Founders Federal Credit Union, the official credit union of the Clemson Tigers.
Vehicles repairs can be a painful experience, but don't let them be. The experts at My Garage are here to treat your vehicle like the major investment it is. Call today to make your appointment at 633-5800 or visit us at 551 Old Greenville Highway in Clemson.
I'm Eddie Bennett. Thank you for helping me and my associates grow our business into its 18th year. Without you, we wouldn't have been able to become the go-to dealer for Link Belt equipment. We're proud to offer equipment rental, sales, and repair, in many cases right there on your job site. And you've enabled Bennett Equipment to grow into a third location in Seneca. We're online at BennettEquipment.net. Thank you, and remember, if you need to rent it from Bennett.
Ralph Hayes Toyota has been a proud supporter of the Clemson Tigers for many years. Being South Carolina's oldest family-owned and operated Toyota dealership, First and 10 at Ralph Hayes Toyota means having our best sales and service team ready to go. Right now, come test drive the all-new 2018 Toyota Camry with more performance, safety features, and style than ever before. You can even take it home for a lifestyle test drive because we want you to be sure that you're happy with your purchase. Every new and pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUV comes with the Ralph Hayes Family Promise because we put your needs first. We even offer a 3-day, 200-mile money-back guarantee to give you some peace of mind. You'll always find competitive prices, great value, and superior customer satisfaction at Ralph Hayes Toyota. Because when you buy from us, you're part of the family. Ralph Hayes and the Clemson Tigers, a winning combination. Shop 24/7 at RalphHayesToyota.com. Go Clemson!
We wrote the book on price. Ralph Hayes Toyota.
I'm Dabo Sweeney. For years, you've listened to me talk about the good people and superior service at Blue Ridge Security Solutions. Now I have some really exciting news. They have merged with Priority One Security, another local company with the same standard of excellence in residential, commercial, and industrial security. The same people are still in place making sure that your property is protected around the clock no matter where you are. Priority One Security. Take it from me.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com.
The air is cooling down, and what better time to snuggle down in a new comfortable mattress from Simmons Mattress Outlet. With the lowest prices in the upstate, you can buy a mattress and still have money to spare. And don't forget, the box springs are free with your purchase of a new mattress. If you are really looking to pamper yourself, ask about adjustable bases, but hurry, they move quickly. Simmons Mattress Outlet in Seneca, located in the old Walmart across from Chick-fil-A.
Need to travel? Edwards Auto Sales in Walhalla has the area's best prices on new Ford trucks, cars, and SUVs. In business for over 50 years, shop Edwards Auto Sales for all your automotive needs.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
Gets the crowd involved, doesn't it?
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
I'm a chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right and a radio.
I can't do it. Just take it. Just take it.
Well, welcome back to Out of Bounds. We're in a better mood, okay? Because we've decided to focus on other games happening around the country. Man. Specifically, Kwok found a lovely article as Ben Milstead stares at us with worry.
Oh my gosh, this is hilarious.
Kwok found a lovely article of some people's greatest Georgia-Florida stories.
Oh, yeah.
At the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. And we're going to give you some of these because they are hilarious. And if you have if you're a Georgia fan listening or Florida fan listening, and you have a really good Georgia-Florida story of something crazy that happened down there in Jacksonville, maybe involving some cocktails and whatnot, again, keep it PG, but please call us.
All right.
We would love to hear.
I just want to read one of these. Just one. That's all.
That's
just
it?
Just right now.
Right just now. Just
teaser.
For this second.
Just
okay.
One. All right.
Get us back in a good mood, Kwok.
First of all, let me tell you, I got to calm down like in the next 6 hours because we have high school football tonight. BHP Greenville in Honey Path. It is for Region 1 4A championship. Both teams are unbeaten. Greenville's destroyed everybody. BHP's destroyed everybody. BHP with a bit of a sloppy win over Wren last week. They've been a little banged up, but Greenville looking really strong, really athletic. The quarterback for Greenville has got some D1 offers, and a couple of the kids from BHP also have D1 offers. Few North-South game selections in the game, so a lot to digest tonight. 7 o'clock pregame with Donald Clark and me, and 7:30 kickoff there from Honeypath. All right. In answer to Kelly's question, more likely that Taquan Marshall throws for 100 or Kelly Bryant rushes for 100, I think there have been games where Kelly Bryant runs the ball great and he doesn't get to 100 or he barely gets to 100. And you think, gosh, he's got 150 or 160. Part of it is sack yardage counts against rushing totals. So I don't feel great about Kelly Bryant. In fact, I think Kelly Bryant's probably going to have, I would say, 50 yards max running the ball in this game if you subtract maybe two or three sacks in there. Because Georgia Tech can rush the passer a little bit.
So you're going to go with Taquan?
I'm going with Taquan because I do think they're going to have to throw it. It kind of goes with my first answer. I think they're going to have to throw it to move the ball some. Jump balls to Ricky June, who's still, I mean, Ryan Carter's giving up half a foot in coverage to him. Bless his heart. There's going to be a couple of those Ricky Junes.
My twin, Ryan Carter.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I think I'm going to go with Taquan as well, mainly because he completes two deep balls and he's already about there, you know? He'll get up to about 60 or 70 yards with two deep balls. I think it's much more likely that he throws for 100 than Kelly Bryant rushes for 100. Now, if this was a healthy Kelly Bryant, 100% healthy, it would be a different discussion, I think.
All right, some of these are not safe for air, but I can give you one of these stories, and we're going to pick some games. We're going to tell you what's going down in the You Pick 'Em contest. Mercy.
This is my favorite.
This is a submission from Nick on this SB Nation article. The title of the article is, "We asked for your wildest, world's largest outdoor cocktail party stories. Here are your best." That's what it says. Here it is. 2012 Georgia-Florida game. I was in college. My best friend and I traveled from Birmingham last minute to go to the game. Needless to say, we got to Jacksonville late, 5 a.m., last minute travel. We slept under a bridge in a car, and we woke up around 8 a.m., surrounded by Florida fans who at this point have made fun of us for 2 hours by now for being asleep. We partied like every other kid that day. We go to the stadium an hour early so my friend could sleep before the game. So they woke up at 8.
That's insane.
After they got there at 5. They've been made fun of for 2 hours. On 3 hours sleep, they party the whole game, and the guy's going to sleep in the stadium. Like, don't sleep and miss the party. You got to party first. That's why it's the cocktail party and not some moniker related to the game. We go to the stadium an hour early so my friend can sleep before the game, and he lays down the aisle. Game kicks off. Like, what, 70-something thousand
people? Very
comfy.
Very comfy.
Game kicks off. He's still asleep. It says sleep, by the way, not asleep.
He's still asleep.
The people next to us didn't mind and kind of laughed. The guy mentioned he hadn't seen his granddad. He was supposed to be here by now. Kickoff. Granddad shows up with handcuffs on his hand screaming, "I escaped!" I couldn't believe it. I asked for him what? He apparently got arrested or detained before the game. Granddad. And as they were putting cuffs on him, a fight broke out and he slipped into the stadium. My friend, meanwhile, wakes up at the end of the first quarter, looks at me and says, "Have I missed anything?" That's just one of the great stories. There's some stories about people that go down to St. Simon's Island, like some really scandalous stuff going on. We'll read you another one from Trip coming up a little bit later.
The Trip one is gold.
Oh, it's good. It's real good. Let's go to the You Pick 'Em contest first, but somehow we got to get through these 10. We got to do our pick six this week, where I am committed to excellence this week because I'm currently at 500. I'm the epitome of average in this. The first game is Florida State Boston College. Tonight, primetime, under the lights, Chestnut Hill, in front of tens, if not dozens of people. I mean, dozens of fans here in Chestnut Hill that care so deeply about this.
I really wish Hogwood was there. This screams Mike
this
Hogwood.
This is too sad for Hoggy.
No, this Hoggy would do this Hoggy. Game.
What? High-flying ACC at Friday night in the ACC. Chestnut Hill. What?
2-4, Florida State.
Park the car in Harvard Yard. It's ACC football. Boston College hosting Florida State. And imagine if a two teams lucky to make bowls this year. I guess it is more Hogwood than anything else. We had 7 people pick Boston College. Kelly's done. 9 pick Florida State, 7 pick Boston College. I'm a little surprised that more people...
You parked the car. That was great.
Park the car! It's not fire up the grill up there.
It's park the car.
Park the car at Harvard Yard. That's what it is. Anyway, Florida State, 9 people picked Florida State. I thought I was going to be in the minority picking the Noles here.
Well,
why did you
initially
go with Boston College?
The media really picked it up and more of them picked Florida State. But at the station, it's split 4-4. I went with BC mainly because I'm riding BC until they fail me. And BC came up big for me last week with the win over Virginia. I picked that as well as Alex Vimenakis. So I was pumped about that one. And I think BC at home... Florida State's reeling. I don't think Florida State's playing with much confidence at all. BC's playing with tons of confidence. Like Brett said, they're kind of running the spread now, which is just crazy.
Yeah, that's weird.
Anthony Brown against Virginia, 19 of 24, 275 yards and 3 touchdowns, no picks.
You know
who's the better quarterback in this game, Quack?
I still think it's Blackman. But I like the quarterback Brown for Boston College.
Common sense says go with Florida State.
I don't know.
But
because there's a lot of common sense things you can assume about this game.
Right.
Just using very, very, very basic logic and reasoning. Like when a team with national championship aspirations is 2-4, they could go belly up this season.
Anything could happen.
They could mentally defect.
And this does remind me a bit of the 2015 game in Chestnut Hill that Florida State won 14-0 and scored 7 of those points on defense, if I do recall. Yeah. So I took a plunge, Quack. I went with BC.
I'm going Florida State because I'm assuming a couple things. First of all, Florida State has lost close to teams like Louisville, who has a transcendent athlete on the field, and Lamar Jackson. They've also won close.
Wake and Duke.
Miami, they probably should have won that game, truth be told. And Blackman played great in the fourth quarter there. NC State was Blackman's first start. They won by 6 against a team we think is pretty good, right? I just think Florida State's got better athletes on the field. They also won close at Duke. Duke-Boston College, who's better, Duke or Boston College?
Boston College.
How wide is the gap there between Duke and Boston College?
It's not that wide.
See? I think they're pretty much
but
the
also,
same team.
UVA beat Duke, and then BC wrecked UVA. Yeah.
Also, I think Boston College is going to have a hard time playing as well as they did last week. That's another thing.
You think they have to come back down to earth at some point?
They're not going to have a hard time playing as well as they did last week. Florida State's not going to have a hard time matching that level against Louisville. Unbelievable. So I'm going with the athletes of Florida State making a difference against Boston College.
BC has nothing to lose here. Florida State has a lot. And so I think the pressure situation could get to Florida State, especially because they have lost a lot of close games.
That's true. I would take the opposite tack, but I see your point there. I would say Florida State's 2-4. They know the games that are coming up on the schedule. If they lose this game, they're not going to bowls. This is a must-win for Florida State. This is a back-against-the-wall game. They hadn't had a back-against-the-wall game yet. This is a back-against-the-wall game for Florida State just to make a bowl. If they lose this, they're out. They're done. Boston College still has a bit of wiggle room in there, a little bit more than Florida State does. And Florida State is a proud program, too, with proud players. They might not be proud of a bowl game, but if you're 2-4 and scratch and claw your way back up there, you can end up being pretty proud. So I'm going with those things, knowing full well that there's a possibility that Florida State has tanked the season and is going 3-9. I can't win this game.
I can't imagine Florida State ending a year 3-9.
I can't either.
Any reference point for that.
Well, you don't have any reference point for a national championship contender like tanking this badly because of one injury.
Right.
Like run the ball. Use your speed. You have a speed advantage. Use Auden Tate, the receiver, and run the ball if Patrick's there or not. Run the ball if you're Florida State. That's what I'd say there. This hour is brought to you by the Green Law Firm. We'll get to more of these picks. We'll get a couple more Florida, Georgia stories. And there's one more, which is more likely. Which is more likely for Kelly with Clemson and Georgia Tech. Hey, I don't think I've met anybody who's had a good experience with the IRS. Maybe you're not sure how to deal with them. You hadn't filed in several years. You filed, you hadn't paid. Whatever the problem is, it's personal. It impacts you and your family. It's not something that needs to be filed away in a file cabinet, never to be seen or heard from again. And it's not something that you should be treated like every other person that's had your particular issue. David Green doesn't make that mistake. Not the same mistake that 1-800 numbers and these national corporations make. He's local. He's a Clemson grad, been dealing with the IRS for over 20 years. He and his team, if they put liens on your property, garnish your wages, you got an audit coming up, he's got the relationships with local and national IRS agents to get you the right solution. He understands the tax code. He understands the Fresh Start program. He can use those to your advantage. They can't change your past at the Green Law Firm, but they can definitely change your future. Call today for a free strategy session, 271-7940. That's 271-7940. Stop by their office, 11 McGee Street in Greenville. Check them out on the web at greenlaw.legal. That's greene law.legal. Hour 2 is in the books. Hour 3 picks and